control? Does that actually help or hurt? Let's find out. The executive director of the Apartment Association of Greater LA, Dan Ulickson. Dan, welcome aboard. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Doug. Thank you for having me on the show.
Is it Ulickson or Ulickson?
Ulickson. It is Ulickson.
Ulickson. My apologies.
No worries.
Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it. We had a conversation yesterday with a guy who lives in Long Beach. And Long Beach, California apparently doesn't have a rent control law. But in Los Angeles, there's some stunning, it's like 600,000 units of housing in L.A., the city of Los Angeles, are under some form of rent stabilization. And, you know, I'm assuming those aren't all bachelor flats. So out of a city of 4 million people, what percentage of the population of L.A. is already living in some form of subsidized housing?
Yeah, it's a very large percentage, Doug. Anything in, just in the city of Los Angeles alone, built before 1978, is under rent control. And that's a large percentage of the buildings that are in the city of Los Angeles. And this thing is only spreading now to other cities. As you said, we're seeing rent control possibly cropping up in the city of Long Beach, now in Hawthorne, in Inglewood, even in a city like Beverly Hills passed an emergency rent control ordinance because that city feels like it needs to protect tenants that can pay $10,000 a month in rent. It's just getting crazy. It's really, for property owners in the Southland, it's really death by a thousand cuts. We see these tenant rights groups just popping up all over the place wanting rent control. And rent control really doesn't necessarily benefit the people that need it. It really is a wide cast net, and it benefits a lot of people who really can afford to pay the going rate in this area. And it's really not fair to property owners. Property owners end up subsidizing their tenants. They have tenants that own second homes, much nicer cars than they do. And a lot of the property owners, particularly the members of our apartment association, which 70% are mom-and-pop owners that own five or less units, they can't afford it. And we see a lot of our members just going out of business. And that's terrible for these neighborhoods because our members, like I said, are mom-and-pops. They're vested in the neighborhood. They a lot of times live in their units. I'm our typical member. I live in my four-unit apartment building. And it's a real problem because then they end up converting their apartment buildings to condominiums, or they sell out to these large real estate investment trusts that have no investment in the local neighborhood and really don't care about their tenants.
What tell us about the Apartment Association of Greater LA. Their website, by the way, is aagla.org, aagla.org. How is there a maximum number of units you could own to be a member?
No, not at all, Doug. We have about roughly 10,000 members that own 150,000 apartment units in the counties of San Bernardino, Ventura, and Los Angeles. And like I said, just north of 70% of those owners own about four or less units.
Okay, so these are relatively, we're not talking about major real estate companies, billion-dollar enterprises that own.
This is not Wall Street. These are people that have, you know, may have inherited a building or are recent immigrants to this country that worked at jobs and needed housing, and in order to subsidize their housing, they saved money, bought an apartment building, and, you know, that's how they've housed their family and put their kids through college. That's my family story. My grandmother was a single mom, raised two children along with her sister, saved money with a cousin and bought a four-unit apartment building. And, you know, that's how they raised their family. And then one day my wife and I got to move in the building. We had our first daughter there. And the money that my parents got from that apartment building, that was their retirement. They didn't have a pension plan. They didn't have a 401k plan. They didn't invest in Wall Street. Their investment was their apartment building. And slowly but surely, these tenant rights groups are going around and, you know, taking people's livelihoods away.
You know,
and it's a big problem.
It's a tough situation because, you know, LA is a very expensive place to live. And, I used to have an apartment in Burbank that was $600 a month, and I bet you that place is $2,000 a month now. It's a one bedroom apartment with on street parking. And this is a real issue. For many, many millions of people. But my experience with, I mean, this is just a cold, stark reality. If you have a lot of rent control apartments, then what happens is oftentimes the only way, especially when you pile on top of rent control, all the other edicts that cities, city governments and counties can pile on, including the Recycla program and the huge spike in trash costs, trash removal, then landlords end up skipping on maintenance. And what you really do is you can end up creating slums.
Exactly. And that's what happened in the city of Santa Monica when they would not allow landlords to increase rent before the Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act of 1995 was passed. Santa Monica had not only strict rent control, but they had strict, they wouldn't allow vacancy decontrol, so apartments could not go up to market. And Santa Monica was referred to for many years as Skid Row by the Sea. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to have urban blight, or you're going to have property owners that just take their properties off the market and redevelop them into condominiums. And we see that all the time. And the only way to help with rising rent costs is to increase the supply. It's a simple economic principle, and economists have studied it over and over again, and more than 90% of economists, I think these studies said 93% of economists, all agreed rent control is a bad idea. In fact, one said rent control is the second worst thing you could ever do to the city. The worst thing is setting off a nuclear bomb.
And well,
badly rent control is thought of.
This story might be apocryphal, but there was an anecdote from many moons ago in New York City where a woman living in a pre-World War II Upper West Side 12-room apartment, one of those big Upper West Side places.
Nora Ephron on Sutton Place. She bragged about paying $650 a month for her $9,000 a month apartment.
Yeah.
She lived there for 30 years, but her landlord would never fix it up. She had to pay to remodel it.
Yeah, but and meanwhile, you'll have a family, you know, of four living in a two-room apartment because they can't afford anything, but you'll have a single person living in a 12-room apartment because everybody's locked in. The older person can't afford to move, and the younger person can't afford to move either, so everybody's just stuck. Hey, thanks for coming on with us. Dan Uchelson, AAGLA.org, the Executive Director of the Apartment Association of Greater L.A.
Looking back again.